And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, folks, to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Wow, what a day this is going to be. Welcome, folks, again to the Hagman and Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman, once again at the helm, with fellow investigator, researcher, and most importantly, my son, Joe Hagman, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. We ferret out the truth. We investigate and report. Then you decide. I just smacked my knee on the bottom of the set here. What do you think of that? Folks, we broadcast live each and every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. It's the place to be. You can watch us live on our YouTube channel. Just go to Hagman and Hagman.com or HagmanReport.com and select the venue to listen. You can either listen on Global Star, you can listen on Blog Talk Radio, where we're simulcast live, or you can watch us right here on YouTube live. Once again, our YouTube stream. Please subscribe to our YouTube stream, our YouTube channel. The reason we ask you to subscribe is because there is a war right now against conservative talk show hosts, against truth tellers in the media. Sus. Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to elevate our visibility, and to do that, you've got to play by their rules. And their rules are, the more people who subscribe, then the elevation rises, the numbers rise. But we've watched some very interesting things take place with respect to the numbers. Last year alone, we were downloaded in over 110 countries. We had 64.5 million downloads of our program. We have, on average, anywhere between 50,000 to 75,000 live listeners per show. Now, something about that, of course, they measure that in quarter hour increments, and it's kind of a moving target. It's a nebulous number. You really can't tell. But it's interesting because we might get 6 views on our YouTube, right? How does that work? I'm just kidding when I say 6, but the numbers are low, right, Joe?
I mean, yeah, the numbers don't reflect what the actual viewership is, and it's not just on YouTube, it's on everywhere. Exactly, it is on every single venue, and from Blog Talk to YouTube to SoundCloud to all the different places that we find ourselves, they seem to skew the numbers, or yes, there is a malfunction in the number counting algorithm. I'm not pointing fingers or saying the companies are intentionally doing it.
It's Eric. He's the one.
Yeah. I mean, Eric had the capabilities to do that, he would at least skew the numbers in our favor, I would hope.
You would think, right?
You would. And if it's not the case, then we have a problem.
I'm kind of freaked out right now, folks. Those of you watching on YouTube, see, I was here, but I wasn't here yesterday. What's going on with the backdrop? I keep getting like this.
Oh, you weren't in here yesterday.
Well, I saw this from afar.
There were two different. Well, there was a background that was similar to this, but was not the same as this. Not with the moving pieces, shapes, and letters.
Eric's. He said, "Yeah, just testing this out." So
the capabilities of this thing.
It's kind of like we've got a halo, the halo effect, right?
You know, in reality, we could put so many different things behind there. We could make it look like we're standing in the middle of a street with people walking by. We could...
See, some people think that's a green screen. That's not a green screen.
Mm-mm. It's a projector screen.
It's a dual projector, dual screen, dual... Oh, I... Hey, folks. Sorry about that. Not allowed to say that. Well, you know, welcome. This is debate night. This is the final debate. I had somebody, I was talking to somebody on air today, and they said, you know, it's JD. He said, I wonder if Hillary is even going to show up to the debate. And I thought, oh,
she'll be there.
Yeah, she'll be there indeed. Folks, portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Casper Mattress. Oh, my goodness. Can you tell I had slamming things? Can you tell I had a great night's sleep last night? I have a great night's sleep every night. Folks, go to casper.com/CFP radio. That's casper.com/CFP radio. Enjoy a great night's sleep. Casper has got just a tremendous mattress. It's the only mattress I will sleep on in my home. Casper Mattress is just a remarkable mattress, folks. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Now, the mattress industry, they've inherently forced consumers to pay notoriously high markups. Casper, of course, is changing that. They cut the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms, and they pass that savings directly on to you folks. So go to casper.com/CFP radio and use the promo code CFP radio for $50 off toward a purchase of a mattress. And best of all, oh my goodness, Lady has on her Christmas list, she wants a Casper doggy bed. Now, I'm not sure why, because she sleeps.
I thought she had one.
She sleeps on our Casper mattress right between my wife and I. That's where she sleeps every single night. And she loves
it. And the Casper mattress in the guest room.
Oh, in the guest room,
yeah. She uses that too.
She sneaks up there during the day, especially if I'm not home or if I leave her. And I rarely leave her, but she'll sneak up there and nap on the Casper mattress. Now, we've got our house is a Casper house. But anyway, but they have doggy beds out there. Oh, I'm so excited. Casper mattress. So go to casper.com/CFP radio. But you know what, folks? I'm in a great mood today. We have such a great program planned for you.
Mark your calendars.
Yeah, it's rare, right? I'll have what he's having. Now, you know, Dinesh D'Souza, one of my favorite people in the entire world is Dinesh D'Souza. I say that this man has been through hell and back. Folks, how many people out there in our studio audience know Dinesh D'Souza? Okay.
He's been in the news. He's been, for those who don't, he's been in the news a lot. Recently, this last week, he was on the Sean Hannity show. He has a documentary out. It's a groundbreaking documentary that is one of the most popular in the country right now, titled Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party. Now, Dinesh D'Souza is a best-selling author and filmmaker. His films 2016, Obama's America and America, Imagine a World Without Her, are respectively the number 2 and number 6 highest ranked political documentaries of all time.
Yes.
He was born in Mumbai, India. Dinesh truly has lived the American dream.
And the American nightmare in some respects.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about him more. He is a very well-educated man. He has a prominent career as a writer, a scholar, public intellectual, as well as a renowned filmmaker and author. And he has a wealth of information, and his new film, new documentary, is fantastic, Hillary's America, and it's really making waves in the political world. Now, it's funny, I have a Word document up along with a PDF. Two each are one a file of his bio, another one is of the Hillary's America information, and viruses started popping up on my computer.
Go figure.
That never happened.
You know what?
I'm not even on the internet.
If there's one movie right now, seriously, one documentary right now, or one book/documentary, there's a book and a DVD. It's Hillary's America. You need to see this. There was a caller to Rush Limbaugh's show the other day, or not too long ago. I don't know who saw that movie. And just expressed angst because of the information contained in that movie. Dinesh D'Souza has priced the DVDs so you can give them out, as well as educational tools, informational tools. And this is America. So the half hour that Dinesh is going to be coming on, the next half hour, is going to be informative like you can't believe. The links to his website are in the program description. And then we've got Carl Gallup's coming on. And we talked to Carl earlier today.
Yes, we did. He's been a guest on our show at least once before, and he is very well known, and he talks about a number of things, and we're going to talk about his latest book somewhat, but as it pertains to current events and Bible prophecy. And he also is going to stay with us in hour three, as we're going to have live debate coverage where my father, myself, and Carl are all going to be watching the captions on the debate as we have a conversation, and we're going to probably interject on what was said and what's happening while the debate is ongoing.
Actually, we're going to be feeding Hillary the answers during the debate, okay?
Oh, man, if I had enough money in the world to be able to pay to do that, that would be
something.
There you
go. Yeah, that's right. But seriously, it's so. Dinesh D'Souza, segment two, and then for the remainder of the program, Carl Gallup. So stay with us, and you're not going to want to stray. You can have the debate on in the background, but look, that's political theater, and you know we know how that's all organized, but.
And I'm happy it's only going to be, visual for us and closed captions, because I cannot watch the debates.
You know, after the show, just to be clear, the debate is going to extend beyond the show, and then, we're not going to extend the program, but after the show, I'm going to watch the debate in its entirety as well. It's being recorded on the monitor down here in the studio, as well as at my home and I think in my office. So we've got like everything set to go, different networks, different recordings. I also want to mention, I want to welcome a brand new sponsor. How great is this? Quip. Folks, I don't know whether you have ever heard of Quip. Quip is a modern oral care brand that has designed this beautifully. It's a beautiful electric toothbrush. And delivers these affordable brush heads every 3 months and toothpaste. It's just a wonderful program, folks. It's Get Quip, Quip. That's getquip.com/CFP radio. I brought one. I don't know if folks who are watching this on YouTube. Here's mine. It might be a little wet from using it, but. Here's mine. It comes in this very neat tube, and what this is a elegant electric toothbrush, and it's actually on a timer, and it delivers just the right brush technique and such. It's really a cool toothbrush. This is one of the best toothbrushes I've ever used. It's Get Quip. That is Get, like, you know, obtain, getquip.com/CFP radio. They've actually, Quip has actually given our audience a great deal. So go to that website, go to the website, getquip.com/CFP radio and take advantage of the deal that they've given our listeners to the Hagman Report. Again, more on that later, but I wanted to mention that and wanted to show that since we have the ability. Here's the toothpaste, which, by the way, is really a great toothpaste. It's Quip toothpaste, and they have a travel size too. And you think
I'm going to use this for like a week, and I'm going to report back.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. We don't use anything. I mean, we don't endorse anything we don't use.
My wife brushes her teeth like 5 times a day at the very least, so I'm going to take that. And I am going to have her write something up as a review.
Well,
and
that's good.
She's very,
Well, actually, you know what happened?
I call her the tooth Nazi.
The tooth. Well, my wife saw it come in the mail, and so I used it, and she said, "But I'd like to try that." I said, "You're not going to try it. You're not going to use my toothbrush." So we got her. I ordered a toothbrush for her, and she used it, and she loves it. She loves it. So, welcome, Quip, to the Hagman family. That's Quip, getquip.com/CFP radio. Welcome, Quip, to the Hagman family. I just want to extend a warm welcome to our sponsors. And folks, support our sponsors too. They keep us on the air. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on with respect to the WikiLeaks. You and I were talking about this before, folks. The WikiLeaks situation is extremely, extremely important. The information that's being given right now.
Yeah.
That's available. And people don't understand that. You are looking into this. I've gone through, it seems like every time I finish what I wanted to report on, more emails come out. The Podesta emails, and they're extremely damaging with respect to giving away the playbook behind the Democratic National Socialist Globalist agenda. Did you want to say anything about that? Because I think it's...
There is so much in the Podesta email leaks, the Hillary Clinton paid speeches, and the releases from James O'Keefe from Project Veritas.
That's separate, but yes, now, in the same...
On top of that, you have the releases by the FBI of 100-plus documents and the latest document dump, a four-part dump, that deals with the notes and different FBI investigative information that is being released to the public. So you have a treasure trove of information, and a lot of it pertains to Hillary Clinton, a lot of it pertains to her email scandal, the way she ran her campaign, the theft of the primary from Bernie Sanders, as well as the collaboration between the DNC, her campaign, the foundation, and the mainstream media. And we talked yesterday a little bit about this, and we haven't gotten any further into this investigation, but how the TARP bailouts relate to the pay-to-play Washington mentality, and how Hillary Clinton took advantage of this as much as she could. And what we're seeing now, you know, what's most disturbing, I guess you'd expect at this point in our life and in this world, politics and politicians to be a corrupt industry and corrupt, full of corrupt people. Just by nature at this point.
The epicenter, though, is what you're saying, Joe, is the Clinton Foundation. Is that the epicenter of just about everything that we're seeing, right? Or not?
The Clinton Foundation is the, what would you call it, is the enabler of funds to be funneled through for all of Hillary Clinton's criminal and other nefarious purposes. Funding her campaign, paying people to create physical violence and disturbances at Trump rallies. I mean, these countries, and not only that, but access also, as she was Secretary of State, you know, one great example of this is between Qatar and Saudi Arabia, they donated $13 million total. It could be more than that. It might be more than that.
Yeah, it's on a sliding scale because they don't have to report. They can just report ranges.
Not soon after that donation was made, the State Department authorized a $561 billion or million dollar arms deal to Saudi Arabia, basically giving them, you know, $500 million worth of arms.
Yep.
And in the emails, in the Podesta emails, they talk about special categories for donors and, you know, people who want things in return, people who are donating for the purpose of helping the cause. And the one thing that's really striking that we are doing some investigative reports on and some reports on what's been released so far is the relationship between the media and the Clinton campaign, State Department, and Clinton Foundation, where you have these incestuous marriages between, you know, the Clinton campaign, you know, Secretary of Chief of Staff married to NBC White House reporter, blah, blah, blah.
Does a marriage come first or does a job come first?
It seems like the job comes first. And it's, I mean, I guess that would depend on the marriage. Look at Bill and Hillary Clinton's marriage. But, is it really a marriage or is
no,
it?
No. I'm saying what chronologically.
Well, it depends on what they hope to gain in their political career. As one great example Hillary Clinton left is you can get much further with your political aspirations if you have a husband who is a former president that you stood by during extramarital affairs it seems like they are continued to stay married only for the purposes of their foundation and all the money and influence and power that they've gained.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, from the different stories from Secret Service members to the release of WikiLeaks Podesta emails shows that there is a disdain and hatred between the two on a bunch of different levels. Hillary Clinton, in one of the emails, had to cool down from her rage as Bill Clinton canceled a Goldman Sachs speech 3 days before the Iowa caucus was to start because he thought it would give the campaign a bad image. Hillary Clinton said, no, you go there and you speak.
Yes.
And Bill
yes.
said no. And Huma Abedin replied back, well, she needs a cooling off period. She is rageful right now. Something along those lines. And, I mean, as I said yesterday, of all the things that are talked about that are in the emails, one thing that's not talked about and overlooked that should be talked about is not the scandals, not all the things that we were called conspiracy theorists for saying that have proven to be true, but the lack of any emails that talk about any ways to help America or the American people or, you know, get us out of debt, how to bring jobs back to this country. Nothing in those emails speak anything of any plans to do good for this country.
That's right. Yeah, it's all inside baseball, putrid politics, the sewage that's being exposed. And I think people really need to understand the importance. I don't think the importance of the WikiLeaks can be overstated. And it's interesting a few years ago, several years ago. I mean, right after, well, WikiLeaks just celebrated their 10th birthday. So, 8 years ago, we'll say, the left, the Democratic National Socialist Party, the communists, they were more celebratory over the WikiLeaks when the WikiLeaks were talking about things in Iraq and the Bush / neocons, which, you know, I think in total that we need to lay it all out. I don't care, Republican, Democrat, conservative, in name, or liberal. We need to lay it all out and get to the truth. But it's interesting how 10 years ago, or right after the birth of WikiLeaks, right after it began, oh, the left, they were embracing the revelations. But today, they're condemning them or ignoring them. And a lot of people today, and this is something that I found through my Facebook responses, what I see through Facebook and from emails and from letters into the studio is that people are, they don't have the time to go through the emails. They rely on people like us to do that. And we've gone through, the last count was 28,000, you might as well toss in another 8,000. I think in total there's an additional 15,000 from Podesta. So you're looking at tens of thousands of emails that and email threads and chains that we're going through, and we're finding a lot of good information. But I think at the epicenter of this corruption here, or at the epicenter lies the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton family. And there's Soros mentioned over 50 times in the Podesta files.
Keep him happy.
There you go. That's right. So think about this. But what we are doing in the larger sense, and you have to understand this is an investigation that is in progress, it's ongoing, is we are taking everything, we're going through all of these emails, and we're laying out both a timeline and also a content. It's both by chronology, chronological, as well as the content. But you folks are going to have our investigative report on this. It might be several investigative reports. Joe's got an article that's going to be published tomorrow. I'm pretty certain. Joe, I think you're pretty certain about that.
Yeah, it's part one of a basic overview of some of the media Clinton intermingling. Well, I wouldn't even call it intermingling. Flat out, propaganda arm of the Clinton campaign,
yeah,
and the media, and how the WikiLeaks and other actions prove that there is nothing but complete media bias in this election against Donald Trump, protecting and towards Hillary Clinton. And, you know, why are they doing this? Could be for a number of reasons. It could be for money. It could be for position once they believe she takes office and gets power. Maybe it's because they know what she's going to do and they don't want to be executed like the rest of the, everyday Americans out there. I don't know.
And at the end of the day, I do believe what we're seeing here is the incremental dismantling through this information, this process of revelation, these revelations, where the globalist power structure is being laid bare. That's the value in these emails. That's the value in the WikiLeaks. This is the value in the James O'Keefe. And now it's interesting because very quickly when CNN was talking about O'Keefe,
that come off.
The discredited.
Oh yeah. White House even came out and issued statements about this. Not to interrupt you, I'm actually posting a story to the site right now of White House urges extreme. O'Keefe, or caution on O'Keefe videos.
Really. Look, when we were investigators, we took undercover videos and we took them to court. We provided evidence, whether it was in front of a judge or a jury. And I'll tell you this, you know, the pushback on the videos when you are in a court setting and you're watching the defendant, or the plaintiff, whichever, you're watching the face. Oh, it's something to behold. So, yeah, you're gonna find where the White House and others will say, hey, be careful. You don't want to pollute your mind with this. Folks, we're gonna be right back. Stay right where you're at. Welcome, folks, to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thanks for checking in. Listeners checking in all across the United States, Canada, Central, South America. We've got a number of listeners checking in from Europe, including the UK, Germany. I want to say hello to all of you, Constance, in France. Thanks for tuning in live, where it's either late or early. We've got such a special treat lined up for you right now. I don't even want to take much time at all from our next guest, who is a man I believe is a man of great character, great integrity. His name, of course, is Dinesh D'Souza. Folks, you know him from his appearances on numerous media venues, from Fox to CNN. Of course, Mr. Dinesh.
Most recently, I heard him on Sean Hannity.
Yeah, he was on with Sean. This man is a fantastic man. He is a filmmaker. He's an author. He's a speaker. I've gotten his books. In fact, I've got, I think, every book he's got, and I just ordered I just ordered the DVD just moments ago, right before showtime. But folks, I would urge everyone to go to his website. It's linked off of HagmanandHagman.com or HagmanReport.com in the program description here as well. And I'm just going to read this very briefly. And it's this, because this is so prescient, so timely for right now. And these are the words of Dinesh D'Souza. In a recent speech at, I think it was Liberty University, I'm not certain, but it's on his website. But listen to this. Again, this is from Dinesh D'Souza. You need to know that a vote for Hillary Clinton is a vote to swing the balance of the Supreme Court virtually
irrevocably.
Yes, thank you so much, Joe. Against us. A vote for Hillary Clinton is a vote to not only permit, but to bring in federal subsidies for abortion. A vote for Hillary is a vote to put religious freedom, already precarious, into a much more endangered position, because the checks and balances of what would normally block the government are themselves being eroded, and you are voting for a regime in which justice becomes increasingly discretionary. Just ask him, folks. As he states, as I saw terrifyingly in my own case, which is just I mean, it angers me. Believe me, as a conservative Christian, I am angered at what happened to Mr. Dinesh D'Souza. But in Hillary's America, I think it's an illusion to think that we, as conservatives, as Christians, can retreat into our private spaces, drive our pickup truck to school or work, pray in church, and they will leave us unmolested. Now, I'm going to stop there. I think that gives you a clear indication of what his sentiments are, and I totally agree, folks. You've got to get his books, get the latest DVD. That's Hillary's America, and of course the links to his website and the links to the DVD are on our website. Mr. Dinesh D'Souza, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thanks so much for agreeing to spend the rest of the hour with us.
Hey, I appreciate it. It's good to be on the show.
Well, it's great to have you, sir. You're one of my favorite people. You don't know me, but I'll tell you, I've followed your career. I followed your products, investigative work products, your research products, and now this new film. Do you want to start by just telling our listeners about your film, Hillary's America?
Sure. The film is an expose of the soul of Hillary Clinton and also of the Democratic Party. Hillary is best understood as a leader of a kind of gang, the Democratic gang. And this is important because although Hillary has shown that she is unscrupulous, she stays one step ahead of the law, she does all kinds of shady dealings. She and Bill have gone from zero to a couple of $100 million on a government salary. So all of this is highly suspect, and yet the Democrats know this, and they still push her forward. So Hillary's success tells us something about her, but it also tells us something about the people who are behind her, who seem to be somewhat unscrupulous like her.
Well, indeed. You know, you're speaking to a largely fundamentalist Christian, evangelical Christian audience. And I've heard from people, some members of our audience, but not many, say that they're undecided as to who they would vote for, Trump or Hillary. And a big thing is Trump's faults. But you spoke on that on your website where you've got some videos there. But how would you respond to our audience with respect to the election today, given the choices between Trump and Hillary?
Well, first of all, I would say that remember that we are, you know, we're not sitting in the last judgment here. We're making a decision about a public office. Hillary's offenses have all been against the public trust. She was in charge of the State Department when Americans died in Benghazi. She was renting out American foreign policy to the highest bidder. Now, what Trump did, reprehensible though it is a private citizen on a bus a decade ago. And so this is something that Trump will have to answer for in his own life, but it's not the same thing as electing a public official or, in this case, a president.
Understood.
If we could, to get into your documentary, best-selling documentary, also congratulations on the fantastic ability to get this film, Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party, out there. I know it did really well at the box office, and it's still climbing. If we can get into just some of the basics of the movie, one thing that you have in the description here, you talk about Hillary's America and how the Democrats have been working throughout, you know, history to get to the point where we're at now. What would you say would be, if Hillary Clinton won the election, what do you see her doing in her first 100 days that could fundamentally change America? I mean, we know what she said. What do you see her doing, since you have studied her and her tactics so well?
Well, the Clintons operate as a tag team, as sort of partners in crime. And, you know, they did so many abuses when Hillary was Secretary of State. I mean, a small example is that Bill Bill's speaking fee, which was about $150,000, and that's really high, but that's in line with other presidents, ex-presidents. But Bill's speaking fee quadrupled to about $500,000 to $700,000 when Hillary became Secretary of State. So, you know, we weren't born yesterday. Let's reflect on what this means. What this means is that people are paying Bill not to speak. They're making a down payment, a kind of a bribe, on something that they want Hillary to do. Now, just think about it. This woman has been doing this in foreign policy, and we've never had a Secretary of State in 200 years of American history who has been corrupt at this level. Think of what she would do if you actually give her the ultimate reins of government, where there really is no check or balance working against her. The Justice Department would be under her thumb. It's very obvious that the FBI is under her thumb. So, in other words, what kind of ability would we as citizens have to make sure that she doesn't essentially loot the Treasury and turn America itself into something that is up for sale?
Man, that's true. Okay, right on. Now, sir, by profession, we are investigators. I've been an investigator for 30 years in the private sector for Fortune 100 companies. That said, and I've been dying to ask you this question off air, but I'm asking on air. From an investigative viewpoint, or an investigative vantage point, if you were to task me with investigating Hillary and or Bill Clinton, I look at them as both being the same entity, where would you tell me to start? What would be the start point right now to uncover criminality, to uncover the things that we're seeing, her vulnerabilities, we'll say, especially in light of recent disclosures?
Right. So the Clintons are all about power, and they're all about money. And so a really good way to investigate them would be to follow the money. And I would simply look at all the money that has flowed into the Clintons and also the Clinton Foundation. Now, things are not what they seem. You can't say that because somebody paid Bill a $600,000 fee, that was, quote, a speaking fee. Because you've actually got to look at who was that person? What did they want when Hillary was Secretary of State? Did she actually deliver that? Now, this is very similar to investigating things like insider trading, where you basically figure out who made money, how did they get the information that enabled them to make money, and were they in a position to get that information illicitly? You know, if your brother is working, for example, for a law firm that's doing a merger deal, and he knows information that he tells you that you then use to profit from it. Now, the Clintons, of course, they just make the ridiculous argument that even though they received all this money and they did exactly what the donors wanted, that those two facts are unrelated. They just got the money and they accidentally happened to do what all these people wanted time and time and time again. But, you know, I think it takes someone of the unbelievable naivete, although I'm saying this slightly sarcastically, I don't think he's actually naive at all, of a James Comey to pretend like, oh gee, she was negligent over here and careless over there and she shouldn't have done this and she shouldn't have done that, but we really don't see any evidence that she intended to break the law. The people who take actions for their own benefit and circumvent the law are in fact breaking the law. And the very fact that Hillary set up this whole private email system, obviously she did it because she wanted to run a whole set of transactions out of view of public sight.
Yeah, and you know, there are a number of things you just said that are so important, and you know, the money for access is one of them. Another thing is so much of what you just said that once was dubbed conspiracy theory or, you know, sexist attacks on Clinton, have now been proven true, specifically from the WikiLeaks Podesta email files and her own paid speeches. One of the things I want to make sure we hit on while we have you, I know we only got you for a short time, something that you cover in your movie. I want to go over two of Hillary Clinton's mentors, her mentors, that being Margaret Sanger and Saul Alinsky. For people out there who might not understand the depths of evil of Hillary Clinton, can you get into what her relationship and her admiration for these two were?
Well, let's start with Margaret Sanger. Now, you know, Margaret Sanger lived in the early part of the 20th century, so obviously Hillary didn't know her. She admires the woman's legacy and what she stood for. She received the Margaret Sanger Award in Houston in 2009 and did this kind of eulogy to Margaret Sanger, saying that we should all admire her and we should fight for the cause that she fought for. Now, what was that cause? Well, you know, the conventional wisdom and the propaganda put out by Planned Parenthood, the organization she started, is, gee, Margaret Sanger was just all about spacing out your pregnancies. It's about how women should have control over their own reproduction. Well, actually, Margaret Sanger wasn't about that at all. It wasn't that she thought the population was too big and people should have fewer children. She actually had a racist view of this whole thing. And she thought that educated light-skinned people should have more children, and uneducated dark-skinned people should have no children, and that if they couldn't be persuaded to do that, they should be forcibly sterilized. Now, Margaret Sanger's work was so impressive to a group of people, namely the Nazis, that they used it for the basis of their sterilization laws. These are the sterilization laws that affected delinquents and mental defectives and so on. Actually, this was before the Nazis even focused on the Jews. And also, Margaret Sanger had something called the Negro Project, which was a basic project and plan to reduce the size of the black population in America, and she hired black ministers to be her sort of missionaries, if you will, to the black community to convince people to limit their reproduction. This is Margaret Sanger. You think today that nobody would defend her, and people would think that this kind of eugenic philosophy, which has a Nazi edge or tinge to it. But no, Hillary knows all about this. She's not a fool, and she very self-consciously embraces Margaret Sanger. Saul Alinsky is a little different because Hillary knew Alinsky. She met him in high school. She brought him to Wellesley College when she was a student there. So he was an actual mentor in the sense that I think he was instrumental in moving Hillary from being a kind of young conservative, a Goldwater girl in her teenage years, to becoming not only a left-wing radical, but essentially a crook like Alinsky himself.
Right on the money. I mean... Okay, and that's very succinctly explained. Thank you so much. Now, one thing, again, because of the time factor here, we want to cover a lot. Your film, did WikiLeaks, did the recent disclosures in totality, that vindicated your film, and it's the leaks speak directly to the legitimacy, accuracy of your film, Hillary's America. That's a pretty correct statement, isn't it?
Yes, very much so, because the film makes certain, it gives a portrait of Hillary, and it describes certain things going on with the Democratic Party. And what the WikiLeaks revelations do is they fill out pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. It shows that our theory about Hillary is absolutely right. For example, one of the themes of the movie is that although the Democrats have this sordid history of slavery, segregation, Jim Crow, the Democrats started and revived the Ku Klux Klan, the Democrats are the ones who lynched blacks in the South. This goes on and on. They fought women's suffrage. They interned the Japanese Americans during World War II. This is their actual history. So the question I ask is, why don't we know this? Why isn't this in our textbooks? How did it get covered up? And the answer is because the Democrats are kind of in bed with the media. They collude with the press. They also collude with academia and Hollywood. But the media, in a sense, does their work for them. And the media covers up for Hillary. It covers the tracks of the Democratic Party. And so here we go. We open up the WikiLeaks emails and we see, sure enough, the Hillary campaign is colluding with the Boston Globe. They're colluding with the New York Times. They're colluding with George Stephanopoulos. And so what you have is a sense that the American people are not getting the full story because the press, whose job it is to be the sort of objective filter, or at least attemptedly objective filter, is sort of openly shilling for Hillary and the Democrats. That's just one example of how WikiLeaks is showing a central theme. That is, the other is that the Democratic Party is the party of bigotry. I said that, and the Democrats go, well, that was a long time ago. That was before the civil rights movement. That's not who we are today. But again, you look at the WikiLeaks emails, look at the way that they talk about blacks, about Latinos. They even wanted to use Bernie Sanders' religion or lack of religion against him. And now the bigotry against Catholics and evangelical Christians, which is apparently the most fashionable type of bigotry in Democratic precincts these days.
We as Christians are going to be hard-pressed to, under a Hillary presidency. We're going to see bigotry like we've never seen before, I suspect.
Absolutely.
I do suspect you agree with that, just based on what you just said.
You know, I used to think it was just a kind of radical secularism, and that really what the Democrats were against was religion in general. But now it seems very clear that that's not the case. And the clear example of this is that they say things about evangelicals and about Catholics that they would never dream of saying about Muslims. And so, essentially, it turns out that that it's okay to be bigoted against evangelicals and Catholics, but it's not okay to be bigoted against secular people, homosexuals and transgender people, or members of the Islamic faith.
Yeah. Kind of switching gears here, we got about 6-7 minutes left before the end of the interview. I wanted to get into this topic. This has been a topic of discussion that we've been getting into a little bit here on our show, and this is part of something that came out 3 months ago. It was an excerpt from your book. It talks about the Clinton Foundation and how they got rich off of the Haitian earthquake scam that they pulled with the Clinton Foundation and all the money that disappeared from them. And then recently we saw Bill Clinton, you know, making pleas for Hurricane Matthew victims and for supporters to donate again to the Clinton Foundation in order to, you know, help Haiti with the Hurricane Matthew destruction. What have your findings been pertaining to the Haiti earthquake fund with the Clinton Foundation?
Well, this is something that has been, the information is out there, it's uncontested, it's actually well known to people in Haiti. There are regularly demonstrations outside the Clinton Foundation by Haitians saying, hey Bill, hey Hillary, where's the Haiti earthquake money? Remarkably, the press doesn't cover these or covers them in a very perfunctory way. Even though it's a very interesting story. Why? Because this is not a case of these Democrats being Robin Hood. I mean, they're not robbing from the rich. They're robbing from the poorest of the poor. These are people who need food and medicine and water. And what the Clintons did was they essentially maneuvered to put themselves in a position to intercept all this Haiti relief money. Bill got himself appointed UN representative for the Haiti relief, and Hillary was Secretary of State. So the U.S. aid, the money from the U.S. taxpayer, was flowing through Hillary. A lot of international money was flowing through Bill. And boy, this literally is like putting the fox in charge of the hen house. I mean, this is Bonnie and Clyde running the relief operation. So these guys were just looting the Haitians left and right. And the only money that they gave away was actually contracts to their own buddies who were putting more money into the Clinton Foundation in appreciation. So, for example, they built some hotels and claimed credit for creating jobs, but the hotels were in a completely different part of the island than was affected by the earthquake. So why did they build them there? Because donors of the Clinton Foundation wanted to make investments in Haiti and felt the business opportunities were better over there. So this is who the Clintons are. They're completely unscrupulous. And ultimately, even though they talk about, to listen to them, you think that all they cared about is doing good for others. But they've always managed to do really well for themselves.
Yeah, that's, you're exactly right. From dead broke to, my goodness, look at my bank account kind of situation here. Here in the final moments, I've got we've got two questions for you. The first one is, we're just going to ask, and certainly we don't want to put you on the spot here, but kind of want to get your feeling about tonight's debate between Hillary Clinton and Trump. How you think that's going to play out? And again, we're not going to hold you to anything, of course. And how you think the election overall is going to play out? That's question number one. And then our final question would be, how can we best help you, your efforts, getting the word out and such? So if you want to take them in that order, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, let's talk about the debate first. I think that Trump is kind of like a fighter who's behind on points. He's made some mistakes along the way, which have set him back. He's done well at times to recover from them. But I do think that he's trailing at this point. So he's the one who needs to be aggressive. He needs to be on the attack. And quite honestly, it would be he needs to go for a knockout if he can get one. And I think he can. Hillary is not a very good debater. If you can take her off her comfort zone, she gets very discombobulated. And I think this is Trump's opportunity. Trump's weakness as a debater is that he tends to make general statements and not support them with an army of illustrative facts. And so he needs to be well prepared tonight to be able to say not just that the Clintons are corrupt or the Clinton Foundation, but he needs to be able to hit with specific example after example that puts concreteness behind these statements and makes them extremely difficult to refute. So I think it's possible that he will do this. I hope that he's been getting the preparation that he needs. He did much better in the second debate than the first one, but he needs to up the ante even more in the third debate.
Understood. And totally agree with that. We're going to be watching and then monitoring the debate very carefully. Do you see, if the election were held next week or tomorrow, are we in trouble as Christian conservatives here with respect to a potential Clinton win here?
I think so, because, I think if the election were held today, the Republicans would hold the House. The Senate, a little precarious. I think the Republicans would probably hold the Senate, but I'm not sure about that. And they would lose and Republicans would lose the White House. Hillary is in some ways, I think, even worse than Obama. I mean, Obama is an ideologue, and he's been very destructive. But it's possible that Hillary could be even worse. The Supreme Court, as we know, hangs in the balance. So I think this is an important election. I feel it's very bad that there's been so much infighting among Christians and also within the Republican Party. It's absolutely preposterous to see Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, skirmishing with the Republican candidate Trump. And this kind of thing obviously doesn't help. So one way that you lose is that your own team is divided while the other side is unified. And I'm hoping that Republicans come to their senses at the last minute and realize that to stay home, to not vote, to stand on some, rather peculiar idea of principle. Remember, we live in a fallen world. Even in the domain of foreign policy, we often have to ally with the flawed guy or even the bad guy to get rid of the worst guy. Think of how we allied with Stalin to get rid of Hitler in World War II. Now, I'm not saying that Trump or Hillary or Stalin and Hitler, but the example shows you that you have to pick the candidate who is better than the other one, although possibly not somebody that you would ideally choose, but you don't have the luxury of having some hypothetical third choice.
Dinesh D'Souza, thank you so very much. How can people help you? They can go to your website, order your DVD and book, is that correct?
Yeah, the book and the DVD are both Hillary's America. The DVD is available everywhere. It's in Sam's Club and Target and Costco and Walmart. You can digitally download it on iTunes or get it from Amazon. So, yes, get the film. It's really an eye-opening movie, and it couldn't be more timely for this election. And then if you like the film and you want to know more about all this, the book supplies kind of chapter and verse. So that's a really good place to start in becoming familiar with my work.
sir, God bless you. Thank you so much for your gracious gift of time tonight. We know you're a busy man. Hopefully you'll come back and visit with us again.
And folks, check out his documentary, Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you, sir. Folks, that'll do it for this hour. Dinesh D'Souza, what a gracious man. What a great man of integrity and character. What a great documentary. Stay right where you're at. We're going to be right back with Carl Gallops.